message is brought to you by the friends and partners of Elijah Amusa Ministry International. Be blessed as you listen.
I am blessed. I am blessed in Jesus' name. Amen. I said amen. Let's be seated. Glory to God. I know some of you that are not Yoruba, you're already wondering, this song the pastor is teaching us today, I hope it's not going to be a very difficult one. It's not. It's just, I think it's just two stanzas, right? Kosagbara to dabiti Jesu. Kosagbara to dabiti Baba. Kosagbara to dabiti Jesu. Agbara, agbara, agbara to jagbara. Praise the Lord. Patterns and Cycles. That is the title of the message I want to share with you this Sunday and next Sunday. Now, it's a very important teaching. So important that if you do not have an understanding of this message, it may affect how you see life. Because you see, a lot of Christians out there in the world are faced with what they have called the complexities of life, and they have no clue what is responsible. They have no clue what is behind it. So, some things happen and people don't know how to respond to them. Some people don't know how to position themselves. So, a lot of things out there happening. Some people, they ascribe it to God that it isn't. And that is not to mean that there are some things out there beyond our understanding that isn't God. But not all things out there can be attributed to God. So, you have to be trained to know the difference. You have to be trained. So there's a training in the Word of God. I think the good place to begin is to turn your Bibles quickly to the book of Romans 15. Romans 15. Romans 15 and verse 4, the Bible says, "For whatsoever things were written aforetime were written for our learning, that we through patience and comfort of scriptures might have hope." So it tells us that whatsoever things were written aforetime, they are written for our learning. So there are certain things that you can term as wisdom in the wisdom of God. So, some things were recorded for us in scripture so that we can glean wisdom from them. For instance, the events that interplay in our lives. How do we decode? How do we respond? How do we absorb in cases where those events come like a shock, or when those events seem to be mystical? For some people, such event drives them into mysticism. For some people, such events make them doubt the existence of God. For some people, that affects their devotion. So we have to talk about it. It's very important. So I titled it Patterns and Cycles. So, first I want you to know that things that happen in time-space are not all from God. Some are from God. Listen, you have to understand that there are factors responsible for happenings and circumstances and things that happen in our world today. There is a God. You have to know that. You have to know that there is a God. There is a God. Praise the Lord. There are angels. Are you listening to me? There are demon spirits. There are satanic forces. See, all these are factors. They are variables that have their own way to affect the things that we experience in life. You have to know this. A Christian must not live in oblivion. And there are things, you know, next week I'll be talking on cycles. That's when I'll be talking about all those other variables. There are things that are responsible. I mean, that command our responsibility. Let me tell you things. Things that happens in our life, things that we experience, there's a human factor. And human beings are free moral agents. They have the power to exercise their will. We have human beings, we have angels, we have demons, we have satanic spirit, we have times and chances too. So you have to be able to, you have to be smart to know, is this God? Could this be God? If it's not God, then is it any of these variables? So how do I respond to these things? So I want to talk about today's all. I'm talking simply today on patterns, and I want to talk on God. I want to talk about God. Because every other variables, I can put them all in one sack and touch each of them next week. I titled that one cycles. You see people, you know, they just talk about how that pastors, I can't understand. I'm born again. I believe in God. I believe in the miracles. I believe the truth that has been said about me. But why does it seem like there is something like a curse, as it were, in the family? Why is it that there is something like that is transcendent in the bloodline? Why is it that I'm experiencing what my grandfather, my daddy, my uncle are experiencing? So, those are the things we're going to look at next week. But today, I just want to talk on patterns. Patterns. Make no mistakes about it. Like I said, there are factors responsible for happenings in our life. There's an angel. There are angels. There are evil spirits. There are human beings. There is time and chance too. I mean, for example, in the book of Ecclesiastes, you know, the Bible's in the book of Ecclesiastes, chapter number 9, verse 11, it says, I returned and saw under the sun that the race is not for the swift, nor the battle for the strong, neither yet bread to the wise, nor yet riches to men of understanding, nor yet favor to men of skill, but time and chance happeneth to them all. So there are things that happen by time and chance. So you have to be smart not to, if it's not in your favor, you have to be smart not to attribute it to God. There are things that happen by time and chance. Let me give you an example. Have you noticed, I read some analysis that showed that the children that were born between January and March turned out to be the highest number of the most brilliant children all over the world. Now, this is not to mean that children born in April, May, June, because people are like, Pastor, mean that I'm born in September, you don't say I'm not brilliant. No, that's not what I'm saying. You have to listen to me. I said they are going to be the highest number. Like, if you have 20 brilliant children, for example, all right, most likely more than 10 of them will be born between January and March. Why? For example, they did an analysis recently, you know, they took stock of number, I mean, they took analysis of the richest people in the world today. And America's an example. And they realized that all of them were born between the same time. Okay, let me actually just give you a focus of ministry, for example. In Nigeria, if you want to mention 10 major ministers in this country that are in the mainstream, all right, ministries in the mainstream that are really known. Well, you know what I mean by known? Like, I mainly try the popular. Do you understand what I'm saying? By the time you mention those 10, you realize that they all started ministry in different places at the same time. Are you following what I'm saying? So why? Maybe I should just give you the example of, I should just explain that of children being brilliant, because some of you are students and you're like, Pastor. Okay, let me talk about that one very simple. Very simple. In Nigeria, for example, they admit children at what age? 4 years. Right? And they admit them usually September of every month. Are you listening to me? Now, in biology, between the age of 2 and 8, your growth is very visible. For someone like you now, for almost 10 years now, I've stopped growing. Over 10 years. So, last time I went home, everybody was looking at me like this. Even the ones I changed their napkin, they were looking at me like this. Looking at me like like you are looking to the abyss. I felt so small. Do you understand what I'm saying? So between 2 and 8, you can measure the growth of a child very well. You can say this is a 2-year child, this is a 3-year-old child. In fact, at that stage, a 5-month older individual will look bigger. Do you understand what I'm saying? Somebody who is 4 years, 5 months will be bigger than somebody who is 4 years, 1 month. Do you understand? At that stage, growth is fair. The graph of growth is very discernible. The same thing applies to their brain formation, applies to their system and everything. So, if by September they are admitting children, and 4 years is the age where a child can be accepted into school, so a child who already turned 4 since January, February, and March, by September he will be so big, his brain will have been transformed, his brain will have grown, his brain will be ready to absorb some teachings. Are you listening to me? But a child who just turned 4 around August or July, he will now have to compete with those guys in school. And guess what? When they get to nursery school, that one that has turned 4 since January, which seems to respond to the teachings in class, and he will gain the teacher's attention. Then the teacher will be giving him attention. From there, he builds up and gets more, in quotes, brilliant than the rest. Do you understand? So there's nothing mystical about it. So when they did an analysis and they noticed that all children between March and January and March up to April sometimes turn out to be the highest number of the most brilliant students, this is the explanation for it. What happened to it? Time and chance. Time and chance. For example, now, we're talking about YouTube. I want to get our tapes out, get our videos out. Instagram. There was a time that when this thing came and it was in vogue, many of us felt it's not necessary. Someone like me, I just felt I don't have time for all those things. But listen to me, do you know that right now, if you have 20,000 followers on Instagram or on Facebook, you already have a TV ministry. People are online. You can bless more lives. So you trying to now go and do it now, it's like you are late. Do you understand what I'm saying? So some things are time and chance. Some things are influenced by demonic forces. Some things are influenced by God. So all of those factors, I'm going to talk about them just little by little. But today's one, I'll be talking about God. So the interesting thing about God is this. God is not mystical. God is predictable. Did you hear what I just said? God is predictable. What I mean by predictable is you can be very sure of what he will do. You may not know how he's going to do it, but you can be sure that this is what God will do. For instance, God heals. You have to know this. Jesus was God to us in the flesh. At a time when he wasn't even conscious, a woman within herself said, "If I may touch the hem of his garment." That means this was without Jesus' permission. That's to show you that it is his nature to heal. In other words, listen, immortality itself should tell you that God wants you healthy. The very fact that God, who is the only potentate, who alone has immortality, wishes to give us immortality at the close of age, is already a proof that God wants you healthy. So we always know he wants to heal. So if somebody is not healed one way or the other, then that means something is wrong somewhere that we are not aware of. Do you understand what I'm saying? See, the idea behind this teaching is to bring understanding to you to help you reconstruct the culturescape and to realign your psychology to the truth so that you can zoom away mysticism attached to events and happenings in life. I give you an instance, and this example I want to give is where I will zero to, so that it will help you deal with, because the end of my teaching, the end of every of my teaching is to produce fruit in you, is not to swell your head with knowledge. So if I want you to produce fruit in your Christian walk, then I want to zero it to this particular one. is the area of helping you to deal with envy and how to your interpersonal horizontal relationship with people. Very important. Very important. We have to talk about it. Okay, for instance, and I think I've talked about this before sometime last year. How do you handle a situation where, you know, you are in a family of six, and five love God, they were following mommy or daddy to church, they are the ones that are always there, they are in choir, they are doing fine, but the one among them who turned out to be like the black sheep in court, you know what I'm talking about, that seems to be not the one that is serious. At 16, he finishes secondary school, he wrote JAMB once, in fact, maybe the JAMB he wrote itself, that morning they just beat him, you have to go, he went there, scored 300, and then got admission on scholarship. And as he's finishing, gets a job. And he's not a serious guy in the family. Then you, that you know, since when you were small, you go to, you are in choir, you are in everything, and you are like God. Do you know, some people, just by observing that kind of scenario, they've been weakened in their faith. They feel like, I'm serving God, in quotes now. What kind of God is this? And some have interpreted such sin or scenario to be that, well, God can do whatever he likes to whomever he wants to do. So they attach and they back such ideology with, you know, emphasizing on the sovereignty of God. And indeed, God is sovereign. But you see, you have to have the right, accurate knowledge about happenings in your life. Number one thing it does is, it helps you to position yourself correctly so that Satan will not take advantage of you, so that you won't step out of love. You have to understand how things happen and why things happen. So there's a perspective I want to give you today about how things happen. And you see, I'm talking about God. And it's something very simple. I think I've talked about this before, was it last year? And I told you, I said, God works in patterns. It's predictable. We have seen it in scripture. And folks who are oblivious of this are the ones who get mystical about it. For example, how do you explain Jacob and Esau? How do you explain the issue of, you know, how that somebody is called Jacob? Jacob means swindler. 419. And he got the blessing. How do you explain that? Oh, okay, how about Joseph? Because Joseph drives the message home very well. The story of Joseph drives the message home very well. Especially my intention of helping you in your Christian walk, in your horizontal relationship. You know, I've taught you before when we're doing Philadelphia, I said your horizontal relationship must be inspired by your vertical relationship. You know, vertical means your relationship to God. All right, must produce an healthy relationship with people, which is your horizontal relationship. Amen. Bible always talk about faith and love. Faith towards God and love towards brethren. That means your faith towards God must produce love towards brethren. And that's my intention. To see to that you bring out fruit. And that's why I will zero it to this particular example I'm looking at, Joseph. When you look at the life of Joseph, for example, and you see a young guy, the smallest among them, last but one, father gives him different colors of clothes, loves him so dearly, and the elder brothers got jealous of him. That's not enough. The guy has dream. One dream, two dreams, comes to share with the family and tells them they are all going to bow to him. Now that gets the brothers more aggravated. Like, who do you think you are? We wash your napkin. You out of your mind? The elder's brothers, I mean, they got angry at him. So how do you explain that? If you were the brothers of Joseph, what would you do? Let's look into the Word of God and see it. I just want to check. I want to show you something. And I want you to follow me very keenly. Glory to God. Open Genesis 37. Genesis 37. And verse 3, it says, "Now Israel loved Joseph more than all his children, because he was the son of his old age, and he made him a coat of many colors. And when his children saw that their father loved him more than all his brethren, they hated him." See that? "And could not speak peaceably unto him. And Joseph dreamed a dream, and he told it his brethren, and they hated him yet more. And he said unto them, Hear, I pray you, this dream which I have dreamed. For behold, we were binding sheaves in the field, and lo, my sheaf arose and also stood upright. And behold, your sheaf stood around about and made obeisance to my sheaf. And his brethren said unto him, Shalt thou indeed reign over us? Or shalt thou indeed have dominion over us? And they hated him yet more for his dreams and for his words. And he dreamed another dream again." What kind of guy is this? "And told it his brother, and said, Behold, I have dreamed a dream more, and behold, the sun and the moon and the 11 stars made obeisance to me." That means Papa and Mama are going to bow to me. Verse 10 says, "And he told it to his father and to his brethren, and his father rebuked him, and said unto him, What is this dream that thou hast dreamed? Shall I and thy mother and thy brethren indeed come to bow down ourselves to thee, to the earth? And his brethren envied him, but his father observed the same." Can you see that? So, now, when you look at the life of Joseph now, you want to ask yourself, was there a need for the brothers to envy him in the first place? No. They just lacked insight that God is a God of pattern. That when God wants to reach out to a people, he doesn't reach out to a people. He reaches out to one person, so that through that one person, others will be reached. So that means God's grace bestowed on one is God's grace bestowed on others. Now, what will this do to your Christian work? It will help you to receive people's success without having any wrong intention in your heart towards them. You begin to celebrate people's success, and then you celebrate your own process too. Because in the first place, your life does not consist on the abundance of things which you have. That's what the book of Luke 12:15 says. So Joseph's brothers had no point putting up, envying him at all. They had no point. If only they knew that, listen, God was reaching out to our brother for our sake. And think about the old storyline. Who enjoyed the most? Was it Joseph? Oh, no. Joseph didn't enjoy. Maybe I should paint it to you very well. Imagine you have a rich dad, so rich. And all your brothers, including you, were enjoying themselves. And then there's one guy among them, think about it. He was the one who went to the prison. He was the one that was stripped naked. Do you know they almost killed him? They were deliberating to kill him. Imagine if they killed him. The pain is, if they had killed Joseph, they wouldn't have known that they have killed themselves, and not just themselves, they have killed other people too who could have been saved by the famine that Joseph went to preserve in Egypt. So, that act of hate does not just have a negative effect on themselves, but it has a boomerang effect on everyone within the vicinity. Everyone within the realm. So their father is rich. All of them are enjoying their father's money. But this young guy that he hated was sold to some slave masters. This guy suffered. He's from a whole wealthy home, but now he suffers. He's sold to prison. In that same prison, he became old. And Bible kept saying something consistent about him. He says, "And the Lord was with Joseph, and was a prosperous man." Listen, there is no need for competition. This happens even in families, among friends. Can you undo it when somebody you went to primary school together, went to secondary school together, went to university together, and most times this person you're talking about perhaps is one of the dullest guys in school, in quotes now. They always add the E. But right before you, he's in quotes, he has made it. You know that it that we always talk, we go make calm, I go make that it, he has made it. In quote now, but you are still there trying to grapple with your life. So how do you handle it? Or how about, you know, I saw somebody, you know, some time ago, early this year, you know, one of my seniors in school, and I saw him. Of course, I didn't see him in a situation that I should see him, you know, but I understand how things work in life. Do you understand? So I looked like I was a little bit exalted in that situation, in that scene, and he was somehow looking low, comparing this scene now, alright? And I went to meet him, to greet him. And he was feeling like, okay, you did fine, Abby. You know, because I understand how things are. Another example was it last year? Yeah, last year. I went to pass the night in a friend's place somewhere in Sunnyvale, a senior friend. So as I was leaving in the morning, just trying to check to get the estate cab, and I saw one of my junior in secondary school, who is already in the Navy, has a car. A good car. I can't remember the car now. I think it is as an SUV or something. I don't know. He just, somebody just beside me. I said, oh, what is that? Wind the glass. I said, Senior Mayo. I was like, I hopped into the car, and then he went to drop me off. No evil, no ill thinking about him. I was like 3 years a senior in school, but it doesn't matter anyway. See, listen to me. You know, the Lord spoke to me. I think I told you earlier this year that the Lord said to me that we have to be talking on specifics in our teachings now, right? So, why? Why do people envy people? Because they don't understand. So, if you were the one, now, let's flip the coin. If you were the one that seems to be enjoying God's favor in that sense, what perspective should you have to that favor? Was God just reaching out to you alone? Remember David in 2 Samuel 7, no time to go through it. David cried. He says, "Who am I that you are so good to me?" You say, "Is it not because of your people, Israel?" So David understood that God was reaching out to him specially. So when God is reaching out to somebody in quote specially, there's no need to envy. Be glad. It's because God is reaching out to that person because God has other people in mind. So that person now has to be trained. To be trained. Do you know this thing I just told you? People go to charlatans, people go to, in quote, babalawos. I mean, have you seen cases where somebody will say, the one prophet said they have carried my destiny. The younger one has carried the firstborn destiny. What nonsense! What nonsense! Glory to God. I said, glory to God. So, look at Genesis 42. You know, I just asked you a question. I said, what if it was you that seems to be enjoying the favor of God in that sense? And the people who did you bad, you know, let me tell you something you need to know. That's why there are some testimonies that need to be canceled in some churches. They promote lewdness and carnality. Testimonies like, you know, 10 years ago, praise the Lord, my boss did me bad. He was against me. He didn't like me. He was treating me bad. But 10 years after, to the glory of God, I'm now his boss in the same establishment. Father, I thank you. I will show him pepe. I will pepe him, pepe them. That's carnality. the same guys who were planning to kill him, do you know they were planning to kill him? They said, let us kill him. One says, no, don't let us kill him. Let's put him inside the pit. They went to lie to their dad that the guy is dead. Many years later, this guy becomes a prime minister. The same brothers who ganged up against him, who never liked him, he saw them. He could recognize them. They couldn't even recognize him. And yet, you know, some people, that's when they will now show, you know, that's when they will show that they have arrived. They will call the person by the name. Have you forgotten me? I was your tenant, so you remember, 5 years ago. I can't remember. Sit down, let me remind you. You remember your brother can't live with you for village that time. My name now, XYZ. You remember? Just to show the person that I was the one you did bad to, now I want to revenge. Ha! These things are serious issues in life. I hope you know what I'm talking about. And people attach mysticism to these things, but it's not. Oh, is God behind things like this? Emphatically, yes. That's why we have this meeting. That's why I'm telling you today. Yes. Yes, 1,000 times yes. It's possible that someone within or around you or a contemporary of yours seems to be enjoying God's favor in that sense than you. Yes. Is God behind it? Yes. By the way, why do you always think that if something good happens to you among some friends or some equals, then it must be from God? But if it's not you, then it's not God. Yes! But what do you do? That's why we are in church today. I'm helping you to recalibrate your psychology. To help you. So that you know how to address issues in life. So that you don't put up and listen to me. Listen, you are a man of God, a child of God, a daughter of God, a woman of God. You are of the light. You should walk in the light. Look at Genesis 42 and verse 8. And Joseph knew his brother, but they knew him not. Joseph did not say, now it's time for me to revenge. Some people, they will come and take testimony in some churches and say, God has brought my enemies into my hands. Joseph understood from the mountain top. He saw the whole issue from the mountain top. He realized that the whole event was playing out. Oh, glory to God. Glory to God. Oh, glory to God. He knew the event was planned out by God. So that through him, the people in Egypt, the people in Israel, will be preserved from the famine. Imagine there was no Joseph. The whole Israelites would have perished. Because there were going to be 7 years of famine. And 7 years of plenty was going to precede 7 years of famine. And by the wisdom of God in the life of Joseph, he was able to interpret the dream that disturbed the king so much. Look at the words of Joseph. You see a matured man. Look at it in Genesis 50 and verse 15. The Bible says, and when Joseph's brethren saw that their father was dead, they said, Joseph will peradventure hate us. And we certainly requite us all the evil which we did unto him. So now they felt, karma don't come now. You know, there are Christians who talk about karma. It's not God, it's anti-God. God doesn't do karma. You know karma? It's from the spirit of vendetta, vengeance. It's not of God. So now they felt that now that their dad is dead, their brother will deal with them. They now lied among themselves and said, let's go and tell him that our father said he should not touch us before he died. Look at it, verse 16. And they sent a messenger unto Joseph, saying, thy father did command before he died, saying, so shall he say unto Joseph, forgive, I pray thee now, the trespass of thy brethren. But they still didn't get the point that Joseph was not angry. Oh, what a man Joseph was. He wasn't angry at the heels of his brothers that were targeted at him. He wasn't. How did I know? Look at his response. Verse 18 says, and his brethren also went and fell down before his face, and they said, behold, we be thy servants. And Joseph said unto them, fear not, for I am I in the place of God? Joseph saw God in all these things. Look at verse 20. But as for you, ye thought evil against me, but God himself meant it unto good, to bring to pass, as it is this day, to save much people's alive. 21 now says, now therefore, fear ye not, I will nourish you and your little ones. And he comforted them and spake kindly unto them. And Joseph dwelt in Egypt, he and his father's house, and Joseph lived 110 years. Glory to God. Joseph said, listen, all these things happen so that me, I'll be brought here. And I'll become prime minister so that I can preserve you from famine. So question is, Joseph and his brothers, who did God actually favor most? His brothers. They were enjoying their father's riches, and when famine was going to eat the land, Joseph has gone to suffer in Potiphar's house, suffer, gone through, went to prison, and now at the time when famine was going to eat the land, he becomes prime minister. So now they are now rescued again from famine into palace. You know, they live in palace with him. Do you get what I'm saying? This is how to see life. The same thing with Paul. You know, have you ever thought about Paul? How this guy was a murderer. I'm helping you to see how some event that should steer envy, that should steer, you know, it could even be religious envy in quotes. You know, you came to church, you brought two people to church, and right before you, those two people are sort of climbing the leadership ladder. But you, they say, yeah, being the usher. In your mind, you felt ushering is not a good thing to be in. How can they make somebody I brought to church, of a sudden now the person is not the one holding the mic? So in your mind, you are feeling like, no. I don't know this thing happens. You better know it happens. It does. It does. Some people call it spiritual envy. To me, there's nothing spiritual about it. Envy is envy, and it is foolishness. Open to 1 Timothy 6. First Timothy 1. First Timothy 1 and verse 12. Now, I want you to hear what Paul is saying. Because when you look at the life of Paul, see, if anybody envies, I used to tell people that I don't envy Paul in any way. Do you know why? I am enjoying God's grace than Paul. And I will explain it to you very soon, what I mean by that. The things Paul went through, don't you understand? That the revelation, the Bible, the epistles you have right now on your tab, on your phone, in your hard copy Bible, that this guy was writing them in prison. Do you know? He wrote most of those books in prison. When we're talking about prison, don't think of this police station prison where they lock you in a guard room. We're talking about prison yard where they had fetters on his legs. In some cases, they will have quaternion soldiers. That means 4 soldiers, 16, they will be doing shift. And they will be, it's maximum prison, where they will have inner prison and outside, inner gate, outside gate. You remember the case of Peter when he was in prison, right? The angel came to strike the chains behind him. They went to the first gate. That was when the jailer almost killed himself. And he says, do thyself no harm. That was the first gate. Then the second gate of its own accord opened on them. That was the kind of prison in those days. The book he wrote to the church in Philippi, it was in prison. All his letters, majority of them were written in prison. So the revelation I'm enjoying today, Paul went through all those stuff. Will I be smart to be envying Paul? Paul and I, who has enjoyed most? Abba, like I woke up very early this morning, I just opened my phone, opened my computer, put on the Bible, just enjoying revelation that somebody wrote while he was in prison. So there was no point envying Paul. And if you look at the life of Paul, you feel, Paul, how far? This guy was a murderer, and God just picked him. Look at what he says about himself. Look at it. 1 Timothy 1 verse 12. He says, and I thank Christ Jesus our Lord, who had enabled me, for that he counted me faithful, putting me into the ministry, who was before a blasphemer and a persecutor and injurious, but I obtained mercy because I did it ignorantly in unbelief. Verse 14. And the grace of our Lord was exceeding abundant with faith and love, which is in Christ Jesus. This is a faithful saying and worthy of acceptation, that Christ Jesus came into the world to save the sinners, and of whom I am chief. Now look at verse 8:16 very carefully. How be it, for this cause I obtained mercy. Why? So that in me first Christ Jesus might show forth all long suffering. Listen, he says, in me first Christ might show forth all long suffering. That means God was going to demonstrate his long suffering. He was going to show us how patient he is with sinners. That was why he was gracious to him. For look at it. Look at it. That in me first, Jesus Christ might show forth all long suffering. For what? For what? For a pattern. For them we should hereafter believe on him to life everlasting. Did you get that? Paul was saying the reason why God's favor seems to be on me was so that God will demonstrate his long suffering. So that anybody in the future that looks at my life will say, wow, God indeed can long suffer. That means God is patient. If God could be patient with a Saul who was injurious and made him an apostle, he says this God did in him first so that it would be a pattern. Someone say pattern. Say it again. Say it louder. That's the way God works. So that somebody who has killed people will read the Bible and say that if somebody like Paul could still have the mercy of God on his life, then he too can have God's mercy. So the point is, God was explaining, was showing his long suffering in the life of Saul. It's just like Abraham. A guy was an idol worshiper, their father Terah. They were worshiping idol, and God just appeared to this guy and tell him and said, you know what? Leave your father's house, I will bless you. What? And the guy left, and guess what? God now makes a statement in Genesis 12 verse 3. He says, and I will curse those who curse you, and I will bless those who bless you, and indeed shall the families of the earth be blessed. So God reached out to Abraham. Abraham believed, Genesis 15 verse 6, and Abraham believed, and then it was counted to him for righteousness. An idol worshiper. So, if you are jealous of Abraham, then you are a fool. Do you know why? Because in Galatians 3, the Bible now made us know that that statement that God said that in thee, what he meant was that in thy seed shall all the families of the earth be blessed. And that seed is who? Christ. Apostle Paul says, notice he said seed, not seeds, but seed as in singular, that is Christ. Then Apostle Paul now says in verse 27 and 28 of Galatians 3, he says, therefore, if you are in Christ, you are Abraham's heir and heirs of the promise. Aya, glory to God. Do you understand? So the reason why God picked Abraham out, it might look like, God is partial. How did he reach out to Abraham alone? Since is he the only idol worshiper? Why did he reach out to him? It was for a purpose. It was so that when God reached out to Abraham, through him the seed will come. And anyone who will believe the way Abraham believed will be blessed in him. So God is a God of pattern. He was reaching Abraham, and yet he had the whole world in mind. Look at it. Galatians, look at it. Galatians 3 verse 5. He therefore that ministereth to you the Spirit and worketh miracles among you, doeth it by the word of the law or by hearing of faith. Even as Abraham believed God and it was accounted to him for righteousness, know ye therefore that they which are of faith, the same are the children of Abraham. Verse 8. And the scripture foreseeing that God will justify the heathen through faith. That means in God's plan to justify the ungodly through faith, he preached before the gospel unto Abraham, saying, in thee shall all nations be blessed. So God was preaching to Abraham by saying, in thee, that means in your seed, shall all the nations be blessed. What was the blessing there in context? Justification by faith. That God was going to justify the ungodly by faith. That means they wouldn't have to do anything to merit God's loving kindness. That they will just receive the gift of righteousness. So God wants to reach out to the whole world. Listen, prior to that time, all right, your works, the things you do is what gets you acceptable. It's what you come with before God. But this time around, God says, no, I want to give everybody a gift of righteousness. They should come to me not based on the good things they did, but on the things which Christ, my son, would do for them. In other words, they will come to me without any sense of guilt. And God says, you know what I will do? I will reach out to one man. And through that one man, the seed that I will always accept, through him, anyone who believes in that seed will also be blessed. So God was not reaching out to Abraham alone. It appears he was, but he had the word in mind. Do you understand? Maybe I should help you with a simple example. Look. Listen. Look at the whole human race today. It has been proven medically and even pathologically that we all came from the same parents. Which is a proof to validate what the Bible already said. Adam and Eve was first created. Look at the trees you have today in the whole world. Billions of them. Did God create billions of trees? He just made a handful. And that one, the Bible says they had seed. Those seed made all the fruit you see today in the world. Many of the trees you see here happened by pollination. Do you understand? You know pollination. There is wind pollination, there is insect pollination. That's why you have, in fact, I read an article that says a bee in a day at one fleet reaches out to about 3,000 flowers. That's why sometimes you wonder, you till a soil and then you see weed. Like, where did this weed? Sometimes the weed can even be good. Do you understand what I'm saying? At your backyard, you just pick vegetable, like, how is vegetable till reach here? And then you cut it and go and make soup with it. It was blown somewhere by wind. Now we have billions of trees all over the world. And this thing works even in companies, in businesses. Alright? You will see a major... Is there anybody who began business from the scratch right now as a partner with Dangote that is poor? It's not possible. It's just like, for example, now imagine if you were a major distributor of bread in this cafe in Abuja. That means anybody who was supplying you butter to will be rich. Come on, talk to me. The person supplying you the pans you use will be rich too. Come on, talk to me. But what if the guy who is supplying you pans says, no, I can't be the one that will be having all the money. Means I want to start my own bakery. Hey, he's not going to be as famous as this guy. He was not called to be the one to do the bread. He was just called to do what? To bring the pan. And by doing the pan, he's blessed alongside. We never read anywhere where Lot prayed. We never hear any good thing about Lot. But the guy was just blessed following Abraham. Until he acted foolishly. and told his uncle and said, the uncle turned and told him, choose the place you like. And the Bible says, he said, and he looked to the plains. You know plains? Plain is like Jaws. How many of you have been to Jaws before? By the way, they call it plateau. You know the meaning of plateau? Plain. Huh? He looked at the plain. He says, he saw it well watered and green. Foolish lot. He says, I will choose here. David, then Abraham said, no problem. I will go this other way that is dry. And not long, God told Abraham, he says, look at Abraham, what do you want? You see, I've given you the whole world, including where you chose. And guess what? The Bible said, the place he chose is Zoan, which is near Sodom. He was near Sodom. But guess what? Few years down the line, he was in Sodom. Do you get the gist? He was near Sodom, but few years down the land, he was in Sodom. And guess what? Oh, Papa Abraham. Guess what? When Abraham heard that there was issue in that land, Abraham harmed his 318 soldiers in his house. Oh, Papa A.B. I like that man. And they went to rescue him. I thought he would be smart to say, oh, Papa A.B. has come to rescue me. That means I have to live here. The guy was still there. Until when God was going to destroy Sodom completely. And he lost everything, including one of his beautiful wife. Became pillar of salt. That's a teaching for another day. But the point here is this. Listen. This is how God works. He works in patterns. So now, whichever way you find yourself, if you find yourself to be the one that seems to be more favored, position yourself to understand that God actually was good to you so that you can be good to others. If you find yourself in a situation where it seems like God wasn't in code now reaching to you, understand that in God reaching that person, he is reaching you too. Not just for the sake of having, a mentality of entitlement, all right, but to sincerely celebrate the work of God in another person. This is very important. Very, very important. Glory to God. I said, glory to God. You know, see, let me tell you that this is how God really works. When God was going to talk to Ananias about Saul, I was amazed. Do you know, I used to also believe before that God is a partial God. Because of the events that happens. When I was pretty young, we were made to believe that God is a God that does whatever he likes to whomever he wants at whatever time he likes. Not true. He does things for a reason. So right now, we want to run ministry. Our ministry runs on money. We don't have, in quote, physically present now, money. But, hi. All right, we'll be stupid to say, okay, me too. I want to get $1 million job. But hey, what if I have friends who are getting $1 million job, they believe in the gospel I'm doing, and they're supporting the gospel? Hey, are we not fulfilled together? Come on, do you understand what I'm saying? That's the way it is. The way God told Ananias about Saul scared me. Look at what God said about Saul to Ananias. Listen to me. In Acts 9 verse 11. And the Lord said unto him, arise and go into the street which is called Straight, and inquire in the house of Judas for one called Saul of Tarsus, for behold, he prayeth, and hath seen in a vision a man named Ananias coming in and putting his hand on him that he might receive his sight. 13. Then Ananias answered, Lord, I have heard by many of this man how much evil he has done to the saints at Jerusalem. Ananias was feeling his case, say, that guy that goes to get letter to kill all Christians, you want me to go and minister to him? No, I won't go. God had to persuade him. And look at what God was going to say about Saul. Look at it in verse 14. And here he had authority from the chief priest to bind all the call on thy way. Verse 15. But the Lord, it's not by power, it's not by might. It's not, look at it, verse 15, it says, but the Lord said unto me, go thy way, for he is a chosen vessel unto me. Look at what God said about Saul. Do you know the meaning of chosen vessel? Maybe I should give it to you in other translations. It means I'm using him specially. Is God using somebody near you specially than he is using you? Instead of you to get jealous about it, celebrate it. Because in God, reaching that person is reaching you. He's reaching you. I think there's a father in the faith, you know, all right, that they asked him one time that, why don't you go and start your own, you know, in court now, you know, ministry, set out and all that. You've been with this man for so long. I'm talking of Bishop Abioye. And he said, God has not called me to start out. I've just been called to help this man. And guess what? Most of the people I have met personally in that so-called ministry that has blessed me personally, that I've met, they are people who directly were blessed by that man. Do you understand what I'm saying? So he said, look at it. He says, but the Lord said unto him, go thy way, for he is a chosen vessel unto me to bear my name before the Gentiles and kings and the children of Israel. To bear my name before the Gentiles and the kings. So God has chosen him. God is strategic. He has chosen him for that purpose, to man it. Listen, that somebody is the head does not mean he's superior to the leg. It's just a function of responsibility. How many of you were in secondary school? You once had a class captain. Does the class captain have two heads, four legs, four nostrils? He looks like you. Have everything you have. But it doesn't make him superior to you. It doesn't. So, I would rather be the one on my bed, lying down on the couch, reading the revelations that Paul wrote. Do you know how Paul was killed? Go and read church history. In fact, the English Bible you have today, some of you that we are begging you to read your Bible, the man who first made the English Bible available, he was burnt. I think his name is Tyndale. The Bible you said you had, the man who translated the Bible to Chinese language was killed. Go and read church history. This Bible that got to you, it was war. So now you're on your bed now. So when I read the story of Kenneth E. Hagin, I'm so thankful, oh God, thank God for a man like this. So now through him now, I was blessed reading his materials. That's how God works. He works in patterns. See, I have a lot of things to say on patterns, but I'm trying to zero it down on Christian conduct. Because if there's anything that I want to be written on my epitaph when I pass on, it should be that I have preached Christ and I have lived Christ. What a Christian or a preacher should be bold of, like Paul. Paul said it. Should be your teaching, that is what I have preached, and how I have lived my life. Look at Samuel. When Samuel was going to give them a king, he asked them, he says, whose ox have I stolen? He says, whose cattle have I coveted? He was asking the Israel, and they said, none. Wow, that's a great testimony. Do you get what I'm saying? Powerful testimony out there. That you can pastor a number of people like Israel and guard them and said, is there anyone here that have coveted their property? Is there anyone that I have stolen from? And they said, none. That's the testimony of a well-lived life. And then, teaching. That's why I'm zeroing this teaching down on conduct. To help you. How you will conduct your life. How you will carry out your affairs in this world. Next week, I'll be talking about certain things. I call it cycles. Some people can't explain why some things keep happening in their life. And I'm going to open your eyes to a lot of things. Because I've counseled with people, prayed with people, and I've been instructed by the Spirit to help people see things. There are some people, they can't just explain it. When it's about to hit a gusher in any of their endeavor, they will have a bad dream. In that dream, they will have the same dream again, happening again every time they're about to hit the gusher in any of their endeavor. Don't try to talk it away. You have to understand how things work. I'll talk about that next week. Listen, learn to take authority. How many of you saw the podcast I did Faith Friday that I talked about don't let dreams dread you, right? The funniest and the craziest thing is there are people right now in the body of Christ, they call themselves, they call themselves, they are warded people. They try to talk out on people's experience. No, there was never a time in the epistles where experiences were talked out. Paul always acknowledged experiences and gave the biblical antidote to it. For example, there was a guy that was dating his stepmom and he was braggadocio about it. In Corinth, a member of a church in Corinth, he was sleeping with his stepmom and he was braggadocio about it. They will go to cash and carry together. They will go to Domino Pizza together. Everybody saw them that he's dating his stepmom and he was braggadocio about it in church. Paul did not say, he's the righteousness of God, forget about him. No, Paul addressed it. A Christian said he slept, something is pushing him, and he woke up and he saw his body swollen. Somebody tells you they went in their sleep, somebody was flogging them in their dream, and they woke up, all their body is full of scars. Is this scars you call it? Mark. And you're like, no, it's just in your mind. It's just in your mind. See, you know some people, they worship Bible. See, your knowledge of God's word must help you know God more. Not to give you ego that you know the word of God. Must help you know God more and help you know how to deal wisely in the affairs of life. Did you hear what I said? Did you hear what I said? What Christian theology does is it helps you to understand the things of the Spirit and how things work. So you can position yourself properly. And that's what I will talk about next week, to help you. Very important. So today I'm just zeroing on patterns. I want you to see this is how God works. This is how He works. He is good to you. And it seems like he's just favorable to you alone. Not because you're good, not just because of you, because of others. So you have to be smart to realize that the reason why God was good to you was so that you can reach other people. And if you were the one on the other side of the experience, understand that you don't have to be envious. You don't have to grow hatredness for that individual. You don't have to, build some hills in your heart about the systems. Mm-mm. You don't have to give in to the works of the flesh. And you don't have to jog for power. You don't have to jog for, just live. Just breathe. Breathe. So there are some things that happen in life actually that seems mystical, alright, but they are inspired and caused by God. How many of you learned something new today from what I just shared with you? Right? To help you. God is not mystical. God is predictable. And we have seen that the predictability of God is He works in patterns. The next week, I'm going to talk about cycles. Cycles. Because it's possible to be a Christian, very worded in quotes, and then be living in deniers and psychosis. It's possible. It's possible. I already feel like just sharing some of them with you already. Okay, think about this. Why is it that Abraham was a liar. Isaac was a liar. Guess what? Jacob was a liar. Guess what? Rebecca was a liar. Swindler. It looked like there was a pathological something about this line in their family. Are there Christians that they notice something is... Am I making sense here? I hope I'm not sounding too non-Christocentric to your hearing. Huh? Are there Christians that they notice something is just prevalent in their family? They told that your great granddad had plenty of wives. Your granddad has concubines. Your dad, too, he has a lot of side chicks. Since the day you turn 19, you too, you notice that you've been having an unusual taste for varieties. You want Sade, you want Bola, you want Jemima, you want, which other name again? You want Jacinta, you want Machiavelli, you want, all of a sudden you just notice that you are dating like 15. Ha! Ah, village people are on your case. Something is wrong. And don't come to it and shout, hallelujah, hallelujah, glory. The next day you are misbehaving. You need a retreat. You need a retreat. Something is just there, and you can notice it in your bloodline. Do you know the same way you can stop? Somebody say, this sickness is in our family. A Christian. Born again, redeemed of the Lord. And you'll be saying, this disease is in our family. What are you talking about? You can cut that flow. There are equalizers. I'll talk about it next week. Patterns is today. Next week, I'll talk about cycles, because Christians must learn how to fight. Fight. Not for victory, but from victory. Are you hearing me? So, if things happen, you have to understand that there are factors responsible for things that are happening in your life. And many of them are for your good. So, the one that is for God, discern well when it is for God. When it is demons, take authority. If it looks like it's in your disfavor, seek the heart of God about it. Seek the heart of God about it. It may amaze you that it's for your good. That same thing you think you've lost, in a few years from later, you'll be so glad it happened. You'll be so glad. I know what I'm talking about very well. Very well. That sometimes God wants to save you from a problem, and then you lose something very huge. You may never know. I know what I'm talking about. I know what I'm talking about. So learn to celebrate other people's, advancements, all right? And then to respect your own process. And then understand that everything that happens in this world, there are things that happen by chance, chance and time. Do you understand? Somebody was asking me one time, he said, Pastor, you teach so well. I really wish that. I think it was Mr. Ali one time. He was still new then when he came to our church. And he saw a very strong prophetic manifestation. And he was like, I wish we can put this here on Facebook. Let people know that this guy too is good. And I understand his passion, his desire. But ask me, when did I came to Facebook? That's my page. I opened in 2013. Some people have been in Facebook before I was born. Okay, not before I was born. But do you understand what I'm saying? That's the way this thing works. So let me give you an example. I mean... Your neighbor buys a car, buys another car, and you don't even have a bicycle, and you are now squeezing your face. What's wrong with you? Don't you know that you already have a free ride? Now, what if that your neighbor is now using it to prepare you? That's when you will test your Christian character now. So that if you are in the receiving place, receiving hand, this message will help you to recalibrate your mind. on how to position yourself in that kind of situation. But if you are in the advantage side, this message is also to bless you to know how you should treat those that seems not to be on the advantage side. Knowing fully that God actually reached out to you because of them. Listen, it's never about you. Let me tell you one thing about this world. Nothing that belongs to you is about you. Nothing! Nothing! Sometimes I would remind myself, when did I hate yesterday? Have you seen somebody who is conversing with himself like, I think you heard yesterday now. No, it was the first day. I feel hurt today. Did I eat yesterday? And then I'll go to the kitchen and check. Did I have a little? And what have I been doing all day? Studying, praying, ministering to people, reaching out to people. And guess what? It is still not enough. And I concluded, I said, it just seems to me like this life is not about us. Your life is not about you. You have to know that. Until you get to that connecting point where you realize that whatever you have and whatever God has made you is for His glory. And what is His glory, essentially? Because sometimes we use some religious terms without knowing what we are saying. What is it that beautifies God the most in this world? It's kingdom. Kingdom advancement. Reaching out to souls. Supporting a ministry that is reeling out God's word consistently, blessing lives. We read testimonies from Canada, from places, and we don't even have a website yet. I'm already blessing people with this. See, let me tell you something you have to know. Life is not about you. See, if you think about you, you will only make a word of you. Think about others. Respect, honor, love. These characters, let them be in. See, listen. Let me read something to you, then we close. Because these things I'm saying, don't start thinking like it's something you have to muster somewhere, like you have to perfect yourself. Listen. They are inbuilt. The day you got born again, love is in you, faithfulness is in you. Loyalty is in you. Consistency is in you. Persistency is in you. Patience is in you. Peace is in you. Joy is in you. It's not something you're trying to muster. Forgiveness is in you. You were born with it at salvation. Not doing pepper them, loving back, paying good for evil is in you. It's in you. Look at it. Galatians 5:22, he says, but the fruit of the Spirit. He is not talking about Holy Spirit. Mm-mm. The Holy Spirit don't have no fruit, it bears. The Holy Spirit is a person. And that's God. He's saying the fruit of the Spirit. Which Spirit? Your Spirit. In verse 19, he began to tell you that the works of the flesh are adultery, fornication, uncleanness, lasciviousness. Then verse 22, he says, but the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, kindness, goodness. Are you hearing me? He is saying love is in you, kindness is in you, patience is in you, temperance is in you. You know what temperance is? Self-control. Something happened that should get you angry. That's what we're talking about, patterns. You have to understand that, this I have to position myself to things. Something happens and you hear people say things like, don't let me show you another part of me. So there's a part of you that is not born again that you want to show. What are you saying? I don't want to show you my bad part. I was in a cab with one guy and the guy was like, he was giving a call and he was telling the person, say, just thank God, say I don't born again. Thank God, say I don't born. If I show you the other part of me, we're never born again. So what are you saying? You're contradicting yourself. Meekness, temperance, against such there is no law. He now says in 25, he now says, if we live in the Spirit, let us also walk in the Spirit. So what does it mean to walk in the Spirit now? To walk in the fruit of the Spirit. You know, some people, they say, let us walk in the Spirit. In their mind, they are thinking of getting foggy-headed, floating around like smoke. That's what they think about when you talk about walking. Let's walk in the Spirit. In their mind, is let's walk in the Spirit. Oh, let's walk in the Spirit. Kumbus. That's walking in the Spirit in them. Foolish. To walk in the Spirit, walk in love, forgiveness, all right? That's what it means. That's what it means. Not being envious. No man has anything except God has given him. Let us not be desirous of vainglory, provoking one another, envying one another. Verse 26, he says. I hope this message blessed you. Very instructive, right? So there is the summary. God works in patterns. So now I must position myself well. I must understand also that God is not partial. God is not partial. There is no time for me to explain all these things to you. How could Jesus go to a pool where you have a rendezvous of broken humanities? Rendezvous of broken humanity. The lame, the blind, the deaf, all in a pool. And he goes to see just one woman. And he heals that woman and left. Just one person. How is there a famine in the land? Everybody is hungry. And Elijah goes to only one woman. The Bible told us, Jesus said that widow in Zarephath was not the only widow. How do you explain these things? You will almost conclude he is partial. At one time, Jesus doing his earthly work, told his disciples, he says, don't go to the Gentiles, though. I am sent only to the lost sheep of Israel. That sounds like he's partial, isn't it? But when you understand the scheme of things, how God works, it was for a pattern. Guess what? The Jews that he came for, do you know today there's a religion called Judaism? There are many Gentile Christians in the world more than the Jewish Christians today. In fact, most of the Jews still don't believe in Christ today. Are you getting what I'm saying? So God reached out to the Jews so that through the Jews, he will reach the world. Is that clear? That's why I don't buy the gospel of black Jesus. Jesus was black. The guy was born, he was a Jew. It's inferiority that is making you want to fight for the black Jesus, black gospel, black preaching, black everything, black life matter. Listen, you have to understand this narrative. The reason why you are fighting that black life matter before is because somewhere in your subconscious, you feel black life in itself or somehow does not matter in the first place. Do you get what I'm saying? It's like a woman fighting for equality in the family. Feminism, prepare them. We no go agree. We know it's because somewhere in your mind you already saw yourself inferior. I will show you today. Today you will know I am the head of this house. That day you stop being the head. You are a fool. To some people, being the head means they can't sweep, they can't clean. That's what it means to be the head. I've taught you before. I said, listen, in heaven, what do you think we will see in heaven? Jesus told us that in heaven, he will still serve us. He will still serve us. I showed you before, right? He says, let the leader among you be the servant. See, I don't know. Today's teaching, there's a lot of things I want to share, but I'm just zeroing it out just one single thing. That listen, position yourself rightly. When things happen that it seems like you can't understand, first you have to turn on your discernment. Is it God? If it's God, just know it is for you. Did you hear what I said? If it is God, maybe you are listening to this tape and you just lost your job. Ask yourself, is it God? Can God be involved in you losing your job? Yes! 1,000 times, yes! Did you hear what I said? It's possible. He might be wanting to get your attention. It might not be the one that caused you to lose the job, but the things that play around might be that God, in one way or another, is channeling you to another direction. That is getting your attention on something. See the goodness. Ask yourself, what do I do? But if you notice that it is not God, that's why it's very important you have to turn your discernment. And listen, discernment can be taught. That's why it matters who feeds you God's word. I want to encourage you, get our tape, Receiving Divine Guidance, parts 1 to 4. We blessed you a great deal. Very important. See, you have to know, see, if you are living your life in this world and you don't understand how things work, you will suffer too many things. Unnecessary things. Do you know it wasn't long I realized that we were not supposed to be drinking water only when we are eating. Some of you are saying yes now, but I'm not, you know, we were brought up to always assume that anytime you are eating, put your water beside you. Not long I realized that you have to actually be drinking water like every three hours, like a glass cup. Do you get what I'm saying? So now you are going to the restroom, you are doing 6 capsules. You now turn into 1 capsule. Oh, everybody's, you are in the restroom, everybody knows. You are making noise. Because you never knew that you should be drinking water. So you are among friends and then you farted and everywhere is sensing. You don't drink water. You don't drink water. See. It's only chocolate. That's why all your teeth are gone. See, pastor, pray for me. All my teeth is paining me. For the past 1 year, you've been eating Snickers. Do you understand? Some things happen by time and chance. Some things, they are demonic forces. So you have to discern and take authority. And one of the basic ways you will know is it will come like fear. It will come against the will of God. How can you wake up from the morning in the dream and you are afraid? You feel like the spirit of death, a thought of death. Somebody has to cast out one devil from a lady that she always says anytime she's passing on the main road, something will be telling her, put yourself on the road. Enter the trailer. That is, you have to silence that voice. Don't be a lukewarm Christian. See, it's a warfare. Did you hear what I said? I have a teaching I will do at the end of the last 3 Sundays of this month. I tell you, it is sit, walk, and stand. Alright? It's a 3-part teaching. Anticipate it to bless you a great deal. Amen! I hope this blessed you. Father, we thank you for your word today. So much has been said. Thank you because, you know, we have gleaned wisdom from your word. And we let this influence our conduct here on earth. Thank you, Father. We give you praise that. Thank you, Lord. For we are establishing these truths. In Jesus' name. Amen. All eyes closed, please. All eyes closed. I want to put you.
We know that you've been blessed. For further inquiry, counseling, prayer, and partnership, please call +234 8074 07 8566. We celebrate you.